Salut tout le monde, on est dans le Daily Max pour un nouvel interview, but I'm gonna switch to English because for the first time, I'm gonna do an interview in English and I'm with my friend. Rafael is the guy I meet on the road, actually in my road trips, 3 days ago, and his stories is pretty incredible. So he's next to me and I'm really happy to have his on my podcast. Hello, Rafael.
Hey guys, how's it going?
So can you, before we are talking about your project, can you tell me more about who you are?
Who am I? Wow, that's we're starting with a very deep question. I was born in Brazil, 29 December 1988. I'm 31 years old. I came to New Zealand 10 years ago, and I work as a personal trainer, more specifically with people in pain, with back pain and neck pain and things like that. And I'm passionate for movement, so I'm a very active man. And that's basically me, really.
Yes, for sure. And I meet you on the bike, because you're doing a lot of biking these days, because you have a special project. What is your project?
So my project is called Ride for Life, which is very simple. It's doing a circumnavigation, which is basically a lap around New Zealand without using any money. So I basically do the whole lap based on people's kindness. And I can't use any of my own money for accommodation or food.
So you are doing the tour of New Zealand, right?
No, not really. That's a tour of Aotearoa, which is goes from the far north point to the far south point. And it's through the length of the country. I'm doing a circumnavigation, which is a lap around the country. And the TA is around 3,000 kilometers. My project is around 7,000 kilometers.
7,000 kilometers by yourself on the bike with no money.
Correct. You got that right.
And how many days now?
Today, as we speak, is day 65.
65. Damn. So something really interesting for me is like how you just build up a project like this. How do you go from the idea to the first day?
So the idea came to me in various points, really. During the entire last year, I had some signals, if you please, that life gave me, and I was just like, okay, that's what I want to do. So once I decided that I wanted to do it, between idea and the actual project, the only gap was action. So I started taking action. I started calculating and seeing if it was possible and how long would I take and all of that stuff. And then just basically what I did was I put a date of a starting date, and once I did that, that's it. I committed. I made it into a thing.
But why bike and not running, for example?
Actually, that's a great question. I thought about running, but the only problem is I wouldn't be able to carry my own stuff. I would have to walk, because I would have to have a pretty big backpack. Second reason is running injuries are quite high, so the chances of me not finishing the project was quite high. And third point was it's just too slow. It would take me around a year to do it.
But why did you choose like to do this kind of trip around the country? Is like something meaningful for you? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ride for Life is to raise money for mental health, which in New Zealand is a very, very big problem. The suicide rates here are very high. But what I thought about was I'm going to do a circumnavigation, which kind of symbolizes that we are involving the whole country. So like hugging the country with the journey. Yeah, that's why.
Okay, cool. And so you fix the date, you fix the bike, you fix the travel. So what's the next step after that?
Well, so that was actually just itself was quite a few months, because I had to learn which bike I had to buy, because I didn't have a bike until then. And I had to learn the best routes and all of that stuff. I had to prepare myself physically and mentally. And once I'd done all of that, I spoke to various friends and they helped me to create the project. So we had a logo and we actually made it into a project. And yeah, once we did that, we set it up, give a little page where people can donate, which will probably be linked on where we're sharing those stuff. So that's after we created it into a small business and then create the project and started, basically it.
So one of the thing you do, you talk to people who are like experts in biking and know the country really well.
Or? Yeah. Thank God, internet is here, and honestly, it's amazing how you can get advice from people that have experience, amazing experience in the whole world. So all my experience, all my information came from Facebook groups and things like that, where I would just ask stupid questions, and learn more and more. And also people in the industry helped me. Like for example, the guys from Evil Cycles in New Zealand. Benny, one of the best mechanics in New Zealand, gave me lots of advice and help. So that's experience came from experienced people. Yeah.
And from the time you get say, okay, I got this idea, and the time you are on the road, so how many weeks or months of preparation?
From the moment I had the idea to the moment I started planning was around 3 months. And then when I started planning, until the day I was starting the ride was around 6 months. So I would say the whole thing was in my mind for 8-9 months. Yeah.
And you just pick a date in 3 or 6 months and you just random pick a date?
No, actually, I wanted to start the year with the project. Oh, so okay. The 1st of January was the date, but then in New Zealand, the 1st of January is a public holiday. So I picked the 2nd of January to start the project officially. Yeah.
And so when we talked for the first time, I saw your project was huge because you are 62 days on the road, something like
62 when we met. Yeah.
And I was on day two and I was almost done. So I thought, oh, this man is crazy. But the one of the craziest part, I think, is like you're doing like with no money. So why doing this? Like, why do you put another challenge on the challenge?
Another great question, because people sometimes don't get this, but I could do the whole project of riding the country with my own money, and that would have been easier. But the thing is, when you have your own money, you buy things, and when you buy things, you exchange their service or those goods for your money, and you don't have to know more about that person's life. You don't have to have a conversation. You don't have to be in the community. And when you don't have money, you are literally on the mercy of people's kindness. So you have to talk to people. You have to get to know people. You stay in people's homes. People cook for you, and it's much more intimate. It's the trip makes. Or the project like this makes it much more valuable for the people that you're coming across, because you get to talk to them, they get to talk to you, you experience their life, they experience your life, and with money, all of that would be ruined.
Yeah, like for me, for example, if I got an idea of a challenge like this, I won't think about doing it with no money. So, is your background or maybe something you happen in your life? What make you think about this doing with no money?
What made me think about doing with no money was actually something that we have in common, which is the Vipassana course and the no possession. Life. So I wanted to do this project on what I've been calling the monk style, which is carrying nothing but the necessary. And
you're the monk on the bike.
Oh yeah, basically the monk on the bike. Yeah. So like, as you know, you have seen my gear, I carry very, very little, and basically the basics. So money was out of the equation, because then I would have to be more involved in people's lives. Yeah.
So how was the first day when you just went on the road and with just, okay, I just got food for one day, maybe I got no money. So are you scared at the beginning? Are you afraid? What's the feeling at the beginning?
The feeling on the beginning was more excitement than fear. Yeah, I was more excited because we had a cup of coffee with a few friends, so there was around 7 or 8 of us early in the morning in my local cafe, and that was quite exciting. But when we started, my good friend Dunk Wilson, he started with me, and that was lovely because the first day I had his company and it felt good. But also I was very unfit, like unfit in the road. I haven't been doing much road cycling, and I just felt quite tired on the end of the first day. But it was a shock, though. It was a massive shock. The first few days, in fact, I had a few meltdowns mentally, because the body was complaining, but mostly the mind was complaining. The first few days was lots of hours of negativity and self-harm and self-doubt. So it wasn't very happy. No, it wasn't very happy the first week, but it got better.
So you talk about that. So what is the worst experience you have and the best experience you had so far?
The worst experience is the solitude, because once you are in a negative area on a negative point of that trip and you're by yourself, it's very hard to walk yourself out of that hole, that dark hole. So you ended up getting yourself caught on a spiral of negativity. And that's, I would even dare to say that that's kind of similar to what we do with mental health nowadays. Yeah. And we get caught into this spiral of negativity. And that's how I felt a few days. You know, I can tell you a few options there that I had very negative days. And I would say the best part, and I've been saying this from the day one and it hasn't changed, the best part is humans. Human beings made this trip and have been making this trip amazing. Like people, they just literally, you know, offer you food out of their pockets or cook you food, even if they have very little. Or people that you meet on the road, or people like you, for example, that it's been a highlight of this trip. So, yeah, people are definitely the highlight of this trip.
But do you think they are like this because of the way you are? And I know you now since three days, you have a lot of lovely good vibration. But or do you think it's because they know the project and they know you have no money? So somewhere you say, okay, they need to help you.
No, difficult question. No, I don't think it's the project. No, I don't, because I think it's the energy. There's a thing that I say to a lot of people, and I live by it, which is the energy you vibrate will be the energy you attract. And I truly believe that the energy that you put out there, so your thoughts, your actions, your voice, everything that you put out there will come back to you in a mirror way. It will come back to you exactly like how you put it out there. So I have been working really hard on myself to make this trip all about good vibes and beautiful energy, and trying to put out there the most amazing love I can. And it's been just amazing what the love that has been coming back to me.
Amazing. And so what is the we talk about that in the bike 2 days ago, I think, like the learnings you got already since 62 days. Can you tell us about that?
I have learned more and more that, you know, possessions don't make you happy, so materialistic stuff doesn't bring you happiness, and that's been proven for me even more now with this trip. Second thing is,
can you explain the first one?
Yeah, of course. So basically, like a few years ago, I was in a phase of my life where I wanted to accumulate, and I was working very hard to gain stuff and buy things, and there was a very, very unhappy phase of my life, to the point where I got myself into some sort of, like, I don't like the labels, but some sort of depression and anxiety vibes. And now that I have nothing, I literally have sold my car. I have sold all my surfboards. I literally, what I own is in a couple of boxes, and it's just basically clothes and my t-shirts and my bicycle. And I'm doing this project. I couldn't be happier. I'm a very, very happy man, content with the decisions I have made in my life. So what I'm saying is that life is not about having. Life is about being. So, and until the day you make this conscious decisions about becoming a better person and not having better things, unfortunately, it's going to be very hard for you to be a happy person.
But this first language, this first learning, before we go to the second one, this first learning is like process don't make you happy. Do you have the declic before the project, or it was during the project, or it was on the road, or you changed your mind about that?
I think I already had started. I had this in my mind already since some other things that I had done that you and I spoke about it off the record. But I think the project made it even more clear that now I have, literally, I have nothing. For 65 days, all I have is in my bicycle, and I'm having a great time. You know, like I really am. So having is not the secret for me. So this is one of the main things that I have learned for sure.
Yeah, I will push his Instagram and you have to check it, because he's a really funny guy. And also mine, I got a really funny picture of him. And so what is the second learning?
The second learning will be that most of us look for a life of pleasure, a life of easiness. And unfortunately, if you try to avoid suffering, suffering will come and bite you on the bum. Instead of avoiding suffering, you have to understand and be okay with suffering. So that's another thing that I have learned on this trip. You can't avoid suffering. You have to observe, understand, and be okay with suffering. And in that way, you just live a more equanimous life, I would say.
Vipassana is tight.
Vipassana right there.
So you kind of agree what we say, like if you do what easy, life is going to be hard. And if you do what is hard, life is going to be easy in some way.
Yeah, I like that. I never thought about it, but that's exactly it. If you want an easy life, that's going to be hard. If you have, if you live an okay, hard life, that's probably going to be easier in your mind. Yeah, that's it.
But do you think, like you go like super hard and you don't have to be as hard to do it, right?
I completely agree. Yeah, no. But that's, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying for everybody to get a bicycle and go around the country. That's not it. I'm just saying that.
Especially if you don't live in Australia.
Exactly. Especially if you live in Australia or America, yes. Or Brazil. But what I'm saying is that, yeah, no, don't go crazy hard, but also it's all about balance. Again, if we can mention meditation and vipassana, it's all about balance. So it's not about getting a bike and doing a lap around the country, but it's also not about being complacent and doing absolutely nothing with your life, trying to avoid all the pain and only going for the pleasure.
Yeah, and what we talked just about, just before the podcast, your project is like kind of insane when we look at it, but you're really prepared. So you do crazy stuff about the project, but you are really prepared about the bike, the gear, the security. You have something in case you have a problem, you can just push the button and stuff. So what did you remove and what did you have in mind when you start and you say like, okay, this thing I can't control, I know it's going to be there.
That's a funny one, because control is a very, very it's an illusion, right? You can't really control. So like we were having this conversation, you and I, over dinner just before this podcast, and we were talking about how I prepared myself, but you can only prepare so much, right? So I prepare myself physically, I prepare myself mentally, I prepare myself for accidents and things like that. So I carry a GPS and I have insurance and all of those things. But preparing is a very fine, it's a very delicate word, because you can't prepare for the days that you are cold, hungry, wet, feeling sorry for yourself. You can't prepare for the days that the wind hits in your face for 120, 140, 160 kilometers, where you cycle for 12, 13 hours. You can't prepare for there. So like those things are just experience. You have to live them.
And we talked about Vipassana and meditation, and it's my first time on the bike trip. But like when you have so many hours on the bike, it's kind of like meditation. So what do you think about that?
I completely agree. Well, all the meditation masters say that meditation is living now, right? So you don't have to be sitting down in a lotus position with your spine straight. There is such thing as active meditation, and that's what you and I have been doing, for example. Like you and I have good chats during the bike ride for the last couple of days, but 90% of the time we're just silently suffering inside, suffering or enjoying it. You know, like we might be enjoying a downhill or suffering on a way up. Like today, for example, we were singing and dancing on the way up. So it's all about perspective, really. We could be complaining of how hilly it was, but we were just having a good time. So yes, it is meditation for me as well, definitely.
It was crazy because we are singing and we just discovered at the dinner like we did the hardest part of the trip singing. So yeah, it's pretty cool. After this crazy challenge, and I know some friend of mine who do crazy challenge and they want to do more and more and more and more and more. So do you think about what's next?
Yeah. Physically speaking, I want to do a triathlon. I never done anything endurance before this project, and this project has been a major endurance project. So after that, I want to do a triathlon and then maybe get more into that type of sport, but I'm not sure. Psychologically, I want to get more into my meditation. So I'm going to go and spend some more time in the Vipassana Center. I'll probably spend 30 or maybe 40 days there serving and giving back to the community in a way that I couldn't even think about paying back, because their technique has really helped me. And yeah, I think those two will be my next goals. But maybe think about another charity project in a very near future.
And if people listen to us and you say, like, don't go crazy and don't rent a bike and do the whole country in the first time, but what would be your advice for someone? Like, if I got talk to you like 1 week before my trip, I would think it would be really useful. But what is your advice if someone wants to just start and doing a bike trip?
My advice is very simple. I didn't say don't go around the country. I just said don't go. You don't have to go around the country. My advice is do what your heart say. Like for me, it was very clear. I needed something big. It had to be something that would be a massive impact in my life, a big impact in other people's lives. So do whatever your heart tells you. Like if you feel like you should go and do a 10-day silent retreat for meditation, go and do it. If you think that you should buy a bicycle and do a lap around Australia, go and do it. If you think you should maybe cycle 1 hour every week because that is a challenge for you, good on you, mate. Just go and do it. But, you know, get moving, because that's what we're made for. We're made for movement.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, yes, you want to do something, but between I want to do and I'm actually doing it, there is a huge gap, and a lot of people just talk to it. So what is your advice if I get this plan in my head since many years and I want to do a bike, but, you know, like typical thing, I'm not physical, I don't know how to change a tube wheel, blah, 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 blah. So do we have some advice to help people just to start?
Yes, I do, which would be action. I know it sounds quite stupid, but there's a thing that we do in physical training, which is called progression, right? So, for example, maybe you want to squat 100 kilos, but you can't squat 100 kilos. Then you start doing a bodyweight squat and you work on a 5 kilo squat and then a 20 kilo squat. And then one day you'll be doing a 100 kilo squat. If whatever your goal is, make it conscious, write it down, put it on your wall, and start working in a plan of progression. So maybe, let's say, your goal is to do a lap around New Zealand on your bicycle, but you literally don't have a bike. Well, that was my example. You buy a bike, you learn which bike you buy one, and you start cycling it until you fit enough to do 100 Ks, maybe 200 Ks, and then you take action into it, you grow a big pair of balls, and you do it.
And how many kilos do you lose?
11 kilos, I think. Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you have a funny fact during your trip? Like something really funny happens to you?
Something really funny happens to me.
Or a crazy story?
I got a couple of sad ones, but no really funny ones apart from you.
The French boy.
The French guy is the funniest thing that happened to me on this trip. Far, yeah.
So I'm gonna left you in 2 days because you're gonna north and I'm gonna west. So I'm gonna be on my back for 6 days and probably by myself. And I'm sure I will have downtimes as you talk about. So when you are in this cycle in your mind, just like miserable, and you keep, you know, and you just have the world in front of you. So how do you do to change, you know, the sense of the wheel and come back in something more positive? Do you have some stuff to do that?
I love the way you asked this question, because you mentioned the wheel. No, I don't. The answer of the question is no, because one thing that I have learned is that you don't have to, in fact, you can stop the wheel. You have to be conscious of the wave that you're riding at that moment. Maybe that wave is a wave of negativity, is a wave of self doubt. And instead of trying to stop the wheel, just ride the wave, because on the end of the day, everything will once change. It will change sooner or later. It will change. So it might at the moment, it might, you might think that's just the biggest wave ever, and it's gonna drown you. But if you keep swimming and you keep flowing, you keep floating, you will be fine. So the next wave might be a wave of joy, and that's how life is, really, like peaks and lows. So I would say, don't try to stop the wave, just ride it.
Super cool. To finish, do you have don't know, something you want to talk about, like a good quote you like, or something you tell yourself every day, or?
One of the things that I tell myself every single day, and sometimes that's actually part of the conversation we had over dinner, is the massive gap between intellectual and experiential knowledge. So sometimes we know something, but we haven't experienced. So, for example, we all know that if you burn more calories than you eat, you will get lean. But obesity is a very big problem in the world, and it gets bigger and bigger. So that's four. We all know, but we don't do it. We all know that if you do the right decisions and you work really hard, you're probably going to get rich. But most of us get poorer every day, you know. So most of us have problems with financial situations, financial stability. So what I'm trying to say is that try to understand that you will never get good at something until the day you actually put action into it, and you start experiencing it. So if you want to feel like how it is to go around the country on a bicycle, doesn't matter how many podcasts you watch about it. Get the bike, go ride it.
Nice. So where we can find you? Instagram?
Yeah, that's Raphael_Knopf. And you can find on Facebook as well, Ride for Life NZ, all one word.
Thank you for everything. How many days left?
Should be home in 3 weeks. So 20, 21, 25 days around there. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you very much, Raphael.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.